Blog Talk Radio.
And now, welcome to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Broadcasting from L.A. to around the world, here's your host, Pete Asmus.
All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. Today is an awesome day. We are on Wake Up Wednesday. It's all about waking up and living your life. Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Hour. I am Pete Asmus. I'm going to be your co-host today, along with a special co-host I'm bringing on in a little bit, Karin Hall from UDirect. We're going to be talking all about IRAs, which is absolutely awesome. I'm telling you right now, I just sent out a mailer last night. It was funny because Karin actually responded and said, hey, great topic. But we in Arizona, we've got a turnkey system that we're doing, and I decided to start shifting to looking for people that have an IRA, that have a 401k, that have a Roth, whatever, right? And they want to start getting better returns. They want to start having more control over their future. And so I thought a perfect guest to bring on would be Karin. And so we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to talk about, or I want to bring on Steve Hayden. And we're going to be talking every week. We're going to kind of bring you guys a little bit of information about what's happening in the real estate market out there and what you guys can be expecting. And I've actually got a topic I'm going to bring up that we're going to talk about, and he's got a topic or two that he's going to bring up. Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Pete.
Good morning, man. So what topic do you have for us for the top of the hour?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about it. The other day I ran into a buddy of mine, and he was telling me how he had just installed a solar unit on his house, and he had spent $42,000 on it, and he's telling me how he's very, very excited about not having a power bill now, how he likes to go out and see the meter rolling back, and then how he got a tax credit on it. So it got me really thinking about it. I'm thinking, man, this is not only good for the homeowners, but it's also good for investors like yourself and me. So I've been doing a little bit of research on it. I've reached out to a few people, and there's a lot of interesting stuff that I don't know if a lot of people out there know about it. Let me see here. I was looking at a couple of things here. And by the way, I have a friend who is a contractor, and what he does is he buys homes, remodels them, and he actually puts on solar units to the homes that he buys and sells. And there are tons of benefits to this, and I didn't even know about it. First of all, I was looking at have you ever heard of the solar investment tax credit?
Yes.
You have? Yeah. See, I didn't know anything about this. I was oblivious to it. I just go in, buy homes, fix them up, sell them, and I don't even look at this angle of it. But, you know, as I was talking to my buddy, he put in a $42,000 unit and got $12,000 back in tax credits. It's a 30% dollar-for-dollar tax credit that you can use. Now, I don't know the logistics of it quite yet because I want to research more into it. But, you know, doing some research already for the last couple of days after I heard from him, it looks pretty cool. And it's actually, this credit is, it goes for residential and commercial, and it's basically, it's grown over 1,600% since 2006 is when they started implementing that. And right now it's projected to go out till about December of 2016 currently, so for commercial and residential properties.
Okay, hold on. Are you saying then that your headline for this is about the tax credit? Is that what the topic of this is?
Well, it's twofold the way that I'm looking at this. For one, for the homeowner, it's a good thing to purchase it to save. You're going to get a 20-year savings. It's roughly they did a study over 23,000 homes, and they found out that they're saving anywhere from $20,000 to $65,000. Depending on what state you live in. You know, they did California, Florida, New York, Hawaii. Hawaii is the highest. Okay, so for the individual person who's buying a home, they're going to save money over the long run, over a 20-year period. They're going to also get a tax credit right up front. Now, on the flip side of that, what I wanted to talk about with the investors is the fact that if you are putting solar onto your properties, the chances of you selling your home next to the person with the same price, you're gonna get about $15,000 more on your home that has solar on it.
Well, actually, if anybody goes and looks, I actually did a little bit of research on this a few weeks ago, and if you go to Environmental Leader, they actually did a study June 19, 2015, green buildings pay off for real estate owners. And what they're saying in this is that when people own green buildings, that they're holding their value more, and they're actually people are more interested in rebuying them, even down to the real estate investment trust or the REITs. And so it's kind of a new trend that's happening. And I think that's really what your point is that the new trend that's happening in the market is people are going green. And all of those things back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when the green thing was just starting and people were like, well, is it worth it? Should I do it? And it took a while for the economy to really catch up to it, right? Because the green technology was very, very expensive in the beginning. And now as it's coming down in price, it's coming down in availability, you know, even to those things like the Nest, right, where it learns your whole entire system of when you come in, when you go. And so it helps you bring down your cost on electricity and heating. I think it's heating and cooling is what it does. And it's like Apple sells it, right? It's all about being a smart home. It's all about having a smart environment to create a better and a more sustainable property and project, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this is really all about, right?
Well, when you said it heats and cools, so not only does it heat and cool your home, but then it also has, there's no impact on the global climate at all. And also, so, you know, added bonuses, obviously we have the financial aspect of it, but you know as well as I do that sources like there's oil, gas, coal, they're becoming very scarce. And then with the sun, there's limitless energy. I mean,
correct.
wherever the sunlight shines, the electricity is going to be provided. And plus, the electricity that's generated by these power plants are giving off carbon dioxide emissions. So we know that that's not good as well.
Absolutely.
So
let me go on to my topic now. My topic is millionaires don't do to-do lists. I thought this was pretty interesting. Forbes put out millionaires don't do to-do lists. And here were a few of their reasons. One, to-do lists don't account for time, meaning that some things that you put on your to-do list can take 4 hours and some things can take 5 minutes. And what research showed was that people would typically do the things that took 5 minutes quickly, right, and get all of those things done, and then they would leave the things that took a long period of time. And what happened was those things kept getting pushed to the next day, the next day, the next day, and they just ended up not getting done. The second thing was to-do lists don't distinguish between urgent and important, right? For instance, if you needed to get a colonoscopy, that is important, extremely important for you to do. But it may not be, you may not see the urgency of it, right? Where if you needed to pay a bill or something, you see that as an urgent thing. So it's like they don't distinguish between the two, and therefore you can really pick the wrong thing, right? And then the third thing is to-do lists contribute to stress. Meaning that when you put all these things that you need to do, we start to freak out when we think about, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And it starts to make us almost kind of, I don't know, cause you to stress out and to start to get problems. Does that make sense? What do you think about that? Hello?
Sorry, I had a little bit of bad reception there. I apologize.
That's okay. What did you hear that or no?
Very little of it.
Okay, not a problem. You know what?
I really apologize.
No, that's okay. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time. I'm going to bring on Karen, and we will talk to you later, okay?
Hey, thank you, Pete. I apologize about the little connection problem there.
No, that's okay, man. Have a great day, though, and I will see you later on. I got a meeting with you at 1.
At 1 o'clock. I'll see you then. I hope you
All
have
right,
a good
buddy.
Day.
Thank you. All right, man. Well, there you go. There are the today's headlines. We've got a few more. Obviously, we've got to fix that up a little bit and get him a little bit better of a connection so we can do that longer. But you know what I can do is I can bring Karen on and ask her, does she make to-do lists? Karen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, the to-do list, you know, I mean, when the tasks pile up, I think it's real helpful because it's so easy to forget, you know. I mean, like look at you, you're a dad, you've got 3 kids, number 4 on the way, you've got your business, you know, you've got your social life and everything. Sometimes just keeping it all together, just writing it down can be helpful so you don't forget something crucial, and that's what I use the to-do list for.
I agree with that completely. I think it's a great guide, right? Because here's the thing. We get so busy, if we don't write down things that we need to accomplish in that day, we will forget. I mean, endlessly we will forget. And I got to tell you, I am so excited to have you on today. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you how excited I am? I really am, because I've been meaning to call you for like a week now, and it's like this is the best way to get you on the phone, and I can ask you my questions now, and everybody gets to benefit from it.
Sweet.
Right? So let's do this real quick, Karin. Can you give me a little bit of your background? Just real quick, 2-3 minutes of who you are and how you became the goddess of IRAs.
Yes, I will tell you how I reached goddess status.
Yes.
Well, you know, I started off as a radio announcer in college, and I was a broadcaster for 17 years, and then made the logical transition into real estate, you know, like sure. any intelligent person. And then I got into first property management, then I was a realtor and drove people around in my car for a year, and then got married and became the trailing spouse. So I got into mortgage loan servicing and then mortgage loan origination. So now we're blasting through 20 years here. As the mortgage industry was kind of dying back in 2007, I got into self-directed IRAs, and just the rest is history. You know, it's a culmination of everything I've ever done. You know, here I can do a radio show with you. I can use that background. I understand the transactions that our clients are putting together in their self-directed IRAs. So I just really feel I've got the very best, most perfect background for what I'm doing.
I am so I know I'm going to repeat myself again and say I'm excited, but I really am excited. I've actually written down questions that I wanted to ask that I felt like, you know, there's a lot of listeners that we have. We own the second and the fourth largest real estate group on LinkedIn, and we're really getting out to a lot more investors. And some of them are investors that maybe they have $200,000 or $300,000 in an IRA, and they don't really know what they can do with it. And so I want to kind of go through with you what some of the options are and what some of the no-nos are, what some of the good things are, and make sure that they stay out of trouble. And at the end of the day, always, they should work with a professional like you. That's an mm-hmm. obvious trait. But let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what is an IRA? What's a 401k? What's a Roth? We hear all these different terms and things. Can you explain a little bit about them?
Yeah, to take it to its most basic element, an IRA is a bucket, okay? An IRA is a bucket to put retirement money in. So some people, you say, hey, what's your IRA invested in? I don't know what's an IRA. They don't even really know sometimes what their IRA is invested in. But it's a bucket to hold assets. And what makes it self-directed is that it's not holding stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. A self-directed IRA is holding investments outside of the stock market, like real estate, like notes, like maybe precious metals or private placements. There are just so many different kinds of assets outside of Wall Street that your IRA can invest in.
And the reality is we have, I mean, what was it, a few trillion dollars that are within an IRA, and they're not allocated towards... So how word that again, because I don't remember the wording.
Well, here's the thing. It's like $25 trillion in America in retirement money. Now, it's not all IRAs. About $7 trillion is IRAs. The rest is 401ks, annuities, pension plans, you know, other kinds of retirement accounts. But the truth of it is that whole big pie, only like 3 or 4% of it is in alternative assets. And so if you're raising capital, there is so much money in retirement accounts, and people don't even know that they have this great wealth, this great resource that they can, you know, explode into other assets. You may just think you're stuck with whatever some anonymous fund manager picks for your retirement account, not knowing that you yourself can take that money and move it out of Wall Street into a deal where you can see and feel and touch it. It's very exciting.
Okay, so I'm listening right now, and I'm at work, or I own my own company. I've put stuff together. I mean, there are things like SEPs and things like that. I realize that you're right, and I don't know who is managing my fund. I have no idea what's going on. What is the first step that I would take towards getting a hold of somebody like you, and how would I start engaging in that process? What does that process look like?
Sure, sure. Well, obviously, the first phone call you make is to UDirect IRA Services. Goes without saying. But yeah, and we're here. Yeah, we're going to work with you, you know. And so it's a three-step process, really, Pete. It's open the account. Number two, get money in that account, fund it. And now when the account's open and there's money in there, now you can invest. So open, fund, invest.
Now, if I own my own company, if I work for somebody else, can anybody have an IRA or a 401k? Is that something that anybody can have access to? Because at the end of the day, it's more like a tax shelter, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, and you want to talk to your tax advisor while you're doing this and have them be your buddy along the way, because they're the ones that are, if you're investing, you really want a good tax advisor. But yeah, exactly. So all you really need is earned income to have an IRA. That's what you need in order to contribute to an IRA. And there's also something called a spousal IRA. So if you're not working but your spouse is, you can still contribute to an IRA even though you don't have earned income. It's the one exception. So yes, anybody with earned income can start a retirement account as long as they have a Social Security number and so forth. So a great vehicle. And the whole point of the IRA is to save for later. It's for retirement. It's not for today. There's some things called prohibited transactions, and so you're not supposed to receive any benefit today. It's all about later. So when your IRA is doing something, you need to keep two things in mind. Is this for retirement purposes, and is this for investment purposes? So here's an example. I want my IRA to invest in my own company. Well, there's another prohibited transaction that I can't benefit from my IRA today. It's for me to benefit from my IRA later when I retire. So doing something like that is prohibited. It's called self-dealing, and I would receive personal benefit, and it's not cool. You can't do that. That's another reason, like you mentioned, it's great to give us a call at UDirect IRA Services before you get started. So you've got some idea, you know, what are the landmines to look out for, and we're here to help you with that.
Now, if you were talking about being able to get into your IRA and not being able to benefit, I know that there are people out there that will have an IRA. They put their IRA into a special LLC, and then they use it as a hard money lender and lend the money out. You're saying, if I'm right, you're saying that that's okay as long as I don't lend it to myself. I can't use my own IRA to lend money to another company that I own, and
right.
I can't do that. That's what you're saying, correct?
Right. And for example, say your wife is starting a company. You think, oh, great, I'll take my IRA and fund my wife's company. You can't do it. It's also, she's a disallowed person, can't do it. So the people who are disallowed are your lineal ascendants and descendants, plus anybody offering services to the plan, like an attorney or a realtor maybe. So they're disallowed to the IRA. Your IRA can lend to money if you're going to be lending to anybody else, though, like even your brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and cousins. And so it's not enough to say your IRA can't do business with family members. It's just your IRA is not going to do business with disallowed people.
Okay. And if I own a company with those people, it's no go.
Completely.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's talk real quick, and then we're gonna go to our first break. Well, let's do this. When we come back from our break, our first break, can we talk about what the difference between recourse and non-recourse loan is and how that really affects the IRA or 401k?
I love that.
Okay, good, because I need to understand this a lot better than I do, and I think there's a lot of other people out there, because I've heard some people that are saying, yeah, I have a 401k or I have an IRA, I can use the hard money lending, no problem. And then other people are saying, are you kidding me? I can't do this. What's going on? So I want to get something from the goddess herself to tell us, is it right or is it wrong? We're going to have that answer when we come back.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages.
What's the difference? Really, as a residential real estate investor, you should ask, what's the difference in real estate insurance? As it turns out, there's a big difference. Real estate investors require a unique insurance product, and National Real Estate Insurance Group is the nation's leader in real estate risk management solutions. We offer full-service residential and commercial insurance solutions to investors, including bulk REO companies, large-scale landlords, and rehabbers. National Real Estate Insurance Group is the only place where you can combine all your investment properties under one insurance policy. With major benefits such as monthly billing, same-day proof of insurance, no vacancy clauses, and coverage for every phase of your property, from vacant to rented or under renovation. See how National Real Estate Insurance Group can make a difference for you. Go to NREinsurance.com. That's NREinsurance.com. Or call 800-900-5324. 800-900-5324.
Are you a real estate investor looking for private funding so you can do more deals? More Financial is a hard money lender based in California. At More Financial, they focus on quick closings, take pride in building real relationships so you can increase your resources and opportunities. More Financial structures each deal specifically for each client, meaning whatever your need, More has it. For more information, visit morefinancial.com. That's morefinancial.com. Or call them at 877-MOR-1300. That's 877-MOR-1300. More Financial, more than just your lender. More Financial is a licensed broker with the California Bureau of Real Estate. BRE license 0816-0343.
And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus.
All right. Well, hey, right before we left, we were talking to Karin Hall, our guest, our co-host today with UDirect. And you direct financial services. And one of the questions that I had, and I know that I've had a few people have this as well, is what is the difference between recourse and non-recourse loan, and how do those really affect the IRAs, the 401ks? Can we get a loan when we are using that money? How does this all work? And I think this is a great topic to talk about in this segment. So, Karin, you want to take it away here?
Absolutely. Thanks, Pete. You know, with non-recourse loans, it's just so important, first off, to know that your IRA is only going to borrow non-recourse money, because I get the call all the time where someone says, hey, I'm really excited. My IRA is going to be a down payment on this house. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, a regular lender, an FHA, VA, conventional conforming lender, they're not going to make a loan on your IRA-owned property because there's no recourse against the IRA. So it doesn't work like that. Instead, the way it works is that your IRA borrows the money. It's not you, you know, the borrower. The IRA is the borrower, and that's kind of a paradigm shift for a lot of people. Hey, so basically your IRA takes out the non-recourse loan. What that means is that if your IRA defaults on that loan, the lender can't come against you personally. They're not going to come against any other assets in your IRA, only the subject property, right? So not a lot of lenders to choose from, though, with these non-recourse lenders. I do have a list that we update annually. You know, it's not a list of necessarily people we endorse, but people, you know, just as a service. So if you want to email me, I'm sure we'll have my contact information later. I'll send you that list. But they're all going to require a larger down payment than you might expect, maybe 40, 45, 50%, maybe more. You know how loans are. They always depend upon risk. And and when it comes to that non-recourse lending, definitely no personal guarantees. You're disallowed to your IRA. You can't guarantee the loan. Someone else who's not disallowed could, but basically it's a non-recourse loan made to the IRA. And there's the when you do this, there is a like I like to say, the big but. You know, like but. And you have to know that your IRA will probably be subject to a tax. So you can't have one without the other when it comes to IRA world. If your IRA is borrowing money, you need to talk to your tax advisor about something called UDFI, Unrelated Debt Financed Income Tax. You can read about it on the IRS's website at irs.gov and look up their publication 598, and that's going to tell you about this tax that
you
your IRA
so
can get
awesome.
Hit with.
God, you were just – you. I mean, man. Just incredible. Look at 598. Go ahead and look that up right now. 598. It's for you. You have everything dialed in. That's so cool. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
This is like
you.
My second time doing this ever. So, oh no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. But you know, it's so, this is so important. And the reason that I'm telling you all about this important is because you just don't want to do this wrong. If your IRA borrows non-recourse money, you don't know about the tax, right?
Right.
Then here comes the IRS knocking on your door, and they say, hey, did you file a 990T? And you say, a what? You don't want to say that. You know, you want to know all the rules going in. And so that's like, thanks so much to you, Pete, that I can be talking about this on your show so that everyone, you know, knows the rules, because you can't win a game if you don't know the rules, right?
Right. Yeah. So you don't know what you're doing wrong. So here's another question. So let's say then I have somebody with an IRA that has $30,000 in it. I have somebody with an IRA that has $50,000 in it. I have somebody with an IRA that has, I don't know, $100,000 in it, right? And I'm able to, and maybe somebody else that has $50,000 cash. Can I put them all together and buy a property, and that way they can buy it without leverage, because now we've put enough IRA money together to actually pay it in full? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to look for solutions.
Yeah, and I love your solution. And here's the thing. Well, you bring up a couple things. One is that when you start raising capital from a lot of people, the Securities and Exchange Commission may think, hey, guess what? That's a syndication, and you need to have some special, you know, blessing to that deal before
Correct.
You go forward with it. But yeah, your IRA, just in generally speaking, your IRA can partner with others. Yes, you know, someone's cash, someone's IRA to do a deal. But of course, you know, you don't proceed in any investment without legal and tax advice. So you want to make sure you want to check that out with your attorney. Look at the exact deal and get it all sorted out first. Hey, is this a syndication or is it not? So that's a question to ask.
Sure. And my point is that I want people that are listening that may have $50,000 to go, okay, there's another solution. There's a way for us to still get involved. Because that's the biggest problem that I see with people in real estate investing, is that they have a little bit of money, a little bit of knowledge, but they don't have a real solution to execute anything. And so they end up just kind of drifting along the side and then going, well, I've been trying to do this for 5 years and it just doesn't work. And it's just because they don't have a solution.
Well, I've seen people go to real estate investment clubs and stand up in front of the group, which I just love, and say, hey, I've got an IRA with $50,000. I want to put it to work. Come talk to me after the meeting. And then people come up to you and say, hey, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. And then you do your due diligence on those opportunities. Maybe grab one of them. You know, you just put the word out there. Gosh, I mean, Pete, you're all over social media for sure. Social media is a great way to also say, hey, I've got 50 grand I'm looking to invest. Anybody got a deal? Let me know. Of course, due diligence is so important.
Right.
But after you do your homework, you know, maybe you find something that, you know, go through the weeds and see what looks good. Maybe you find a flower.
Well, here's a question then. Okay, so let's say I have $50,000 in an IRA, and I have somebody that comes up to me and goes, hey, I just bought a property, and I need the I need the rehab money for it, right? If they mm-hmm. own the property free and clear, and you pay for the rehab with the IRA, you need to be put first, right? Because that's the sticking point of the IRA, is to be the one that gets paid back before anybody else, correct?
Yeah, that gets a little tangled because, okay, who owns the property? It's somebody else. Your IRA is not going to invest in a property it doesn't already own. So your IRA is not going to be doing repairs on a property it doesn't own. Your IRA could make a loan to the person who owns the property and lend them the money so they can do the repair. Then they can pay the IRA back. You could do that. So, again, when it comes to deal structuring, that's what you want to do, is talk to an attorney and say, hey, what makes sense here? But your IRA is not going to invest in an asset it doesn't already own. It's not going to improve a property it doesn't own.
Okay, now, so if the other person owns this, and this will be the last technical question I ask you, but I'm just, you got me now.
Okay.
Now you got me,
no,
like, solution-based thinking. So let's say I own this, and I get a loan from you with your IRA. Does that mean if I'm getting a loan, it's not a personal guarantee for that IRA, right? The IRA is going to get some kind of instrument to secure its money, and that's going to be the property, correct?
Yeah, it could be.
It,
you know, if you're talking about your IRA making a loan and lending the money, it can be secured or unsecured. It depends on what you agreed to. So, but you
really?
Know, normally when people are So if normally when people are making their IRA is making a loan on real estate, it's usually secured against the real estate. So, but your IRA could make an unsecured loan. Sure, I mean it's risky, and you're probably going to have to sign something that says I understand this is risky. But yeah, your IRA can generally make secured and unsecured loans.
So would that be a way then to basically work around not being able to own the property outright? So let's say you had $30,000 and you could get the property, even though it would be leveraged, right? But you could do the down payment, say, because for instance, in our turnkey properties in Arizona, it's 20% down,
mm-hmm.
right? We do a 80% loan on that. Okay, so say we find a property for $100,000, they're able to put the $20,000 down out of cash. Now, it's
no.
their property. So they'd have to have somebody else do it.
No.
Okay, never mind. I just answered my
no.
own question.
Yeah, I mean, I the thing that I love investors are smart, creative people. Doesn't work that way. So your IRA isn't a down payment on a loan like you're talking about, Pete, unless the seller carryback is a non-recourse loan. So if the IRA comes in with some money, that's cool, but it's not a down payment on a loan unless it's a non-recourse loan.
No, the IRA would be the one funding the rehab on this idea that I just had. But the problem is that I'm the one that bought the property, so now my IRA can't loan to me. But you could partner with somebody that could buy the property, and then you loan them with a unsecured loan, you loan them the money for
the rehabs.
The rehab.
The repair.
And
that could be the way
to utilize that money and get it to work. And my biggest thing is, how do I get their money to work for them, right? How can I help these guys out? That's what I want to do more than anything, is just help them. So I'm looking at any kind of alternative that I can do where I can help somebody, because I have three different people that have 50 grand in an IRA. And they're like, what can I do with you? I'm trying to figure out how to help them put that money to work, because if they can't get the loan or a hard money loan with that, then that won't work. But if I'm able to, or if they're able to find somebody and partner up with somebody that can buy the house, and then they can loan them the money, they could always loan them the money at 20% or 25%, or, you know, do
whatever,
right,
is legal.
Special. Yeah.
You don't want to go into the usury territory. That would be bad.
No, but could you also do front and back on that? Could you say, hey, you know, we could give you for this loan, it's 11% or 12% on the money during the time you have it, and then we also get an equity position in the property.
Yeah, when you do the equity kicker, it can throw off a different kind of a tax that's like a twin tax to UDFI called UBIT, unrelated business income tax. So again, before you go with the equity kicker, have a chat. Let's have a chat and maybe even talk to an attorney. Hey, a CPA, am I going to owe this tax if I get an equity kicker on the deal? Because chances are the answer would be yes.
But as long as it's worth it, I mean, even if you've got an equity kicker and we're able to make $5,000 and
yeah,
it's $1,000, who cares? I mean, you just need,
right.
What you're saying is be aware that it's there so you know to plan for it.
Correct. Correct. And if you're paying a tax, you maybe there are write-offs to take against it. So again, you know, do these investments. You see how important it is to do these investments hand in hand with your advisors, your tax advisor, your financial advisor.
Yeah.
You got to have a team.
So tell me some of the crazy things that you've seen and had to unwind, because I know that you have stories.
What mistakes
people have made?
Well, one of the mistakes is we actually had this attorney whose IRA bought a house, and then the renters were paying the rent regularly. However, the attorney was putting the rent money in his own bank account, and he thought, well, hey, I'm claiming it as income on my taxes, I'm okay. But oh my gosh, it doesn't work that way. All proceeds of the IRA have to go back into the IRA that owns the asset. And same thing, that all expenses of the IRA have to be paid for by the IRA. So in this case, this person had constructive use of his IRA funds, and his account got dispersed to him as a taxable event because it was no longer an IRA. He took constructive use of it. Now it was, and usually it's the custodian for the benefit of the IRA, and he was doing stuff himself, putting the money in his own bank account. So that didn't work. That was a big mistake. Now, the other mistakes we see are when people don't bother to do their homework or what we call due diligence on their investments. I just have to say Google, okay, whatever, browser window.
It.
Type the name of the person you're investing in, you know, with, and type the word fraud after their name and see what happens. If they go to the SEC's website, or there's, and in fact, on UDirect's website, on the right-hand column, we have some resources you can go to say, hey, is there any fraud here? Before I invest with this person, what's their background? And gosh, we have access to practically all human knowledge right at our fingertips right now with the internet. So,
Where can they go see that? You're saying one, they could Google their name, plus mugshot, plus fraud, plus ripoff report. I mean, there's all kinds of different things you can do there, and I always tell people to do that as well. But mm-hmm. two, they could also go to udirect.com. Is that your website, udirect.com?
Udirect IRA, yeah,
udirectira.com,
yeah. And so helpful resources like investor.gov, which is from the Securities and Exchange Commission, NASAA, NASA with a bonus A, it's the North American Securities Administrators Association. They're all about consumer advocacy. FINRA, You know, and also AARP, even AARP is, you know, helps protect people against scams and fraud, and they promote consumer protection. So those are all great resources.
That is awesome. Tell us, what is the difference? We've been talking a lot about IRA. We've been using that. Anyways, we've been saying that a lot. My question to you is, what's a 401k? What's a 401k solo? What is the difference between them? Are they better? Because I had somebody on before, Clint, and he was all about the 401k solo. I mean, all about that. And you're really kind of all about IRAs. I mean, it's in your branding, it's in your name and everything else. So what are the real differences?
Well, I mean, we do offer the solo K. I'll let you know that. And it's called the self-directed IRA because that's sort of the catchphrase. The solo K is part of it. So a 401k, typically, that's, you know, you work somewhere and the company has a 401k and you can contribute to it and all this. Well, a solo K or a 401k for an individual is just that. It's the same, you know, vehicle, but it's just for one business person. So you know how when you're self-employed, you wear all the hats?
Yes. Well,
when you've got a solo 401k, you're the employer and the employee. You're the participant and the plan sponsor. So instead of an IRA where it's just you're an individual saving, now you're the participant and the sponsor of the plan. So there's more paperwork involved. It's a little more expensive, and you have more responsibility to administer your plan. But it gives you – there are a lot of bells and whistles. If you're self-employed, you have
–
yeah, there are. But, you know, so if you're self-employed and you've got no employees in any of the companies you own, not even one full-time employee, then you qualify for the solo K. You do that, number one, you don't have to pay that UDFI tax we were talking about. Solo Ks don't have to pay the tax on leveraged money. That's great. Number two, a solo K can have a Roth. You can have a Roth bucket where you can contribute a lot of money to that Roth without income limits. That's great. The solo K, you can also take a plan loan from your solo K. Now, you want to be careful about that. A lot of times people will just say, oh, hey, I'll open this account and take a loan, and they think it's just great. But the IRS says, you know what, you're really using this account for your personal use. You're not using it as a retirement vehicle. We're going to disallow your plan and disperse it to you as a taxable event. So, yeah, you can take a plan loan, but make sure you're using that 401k for what it's intended to be used for, which is to invest and to grow your investments and save for retirement.
That's awesome, though. I mean, I like the idea of one. There's one thing that you said that really stuck out to me, which was basically you said unlimited investment, right? Meaning in that Roth, you could put in as much, if you wanted to put in 50 grand a year or 100 grand, you could
no.
do that?
No, you don't have income limits, which, and here's what I mean by that. For a regular Roth, if you make over a certain amount of money, you can't even contribute to a Roth at all. But when you've got a solo K with a Roth bucket, regardless of your income, you can still make a contribution. Now, the contribution is limited. I believe it's $17,500 this year. But with a regular Roth, if you do qualify and your income is low enough, then you can contribute $5,500 if you're under 50, $6,500 if you're 50 plus. But then let's go over to the Roth bucket of the solo K. It's like 2-3 times that amount that you can put in, regardless of your income. You don't have to. You're not capped on your income for your qualification.
Wow, man, it's really. I mean, if you're out there, if you're listening, this is a. I mean, you're really just focused on the retirement, on really presenting people with an opportunity and a solution for their future. And a lot of real estate investors, when they get in, and entrepreneurs, they don't have that set up. How many people do you meet that don't have a retirement, that have no plan? And I mean, if they stop working, they're done.
It's terrifying. I mean, even people, maybe you've got $100,000 saved. You think, I'm sitting pretty good. Well, just think about this. If you have $100,000 and you're 59 and a half and you say, I'm going to retire, and you know you're going to live until you're 86 and a half and you're going to take even monthly distributions, that's only going to give you $400 a month. How are you going to live on that? Really, no American, very few, 1% of Americans probably have enough money to really truly retire. So you really have to take a look at that. I mean, just do yourself a favor today. Make a contribution to your retirement account. Maybe you've got one at work. Maybe you've got an IRA. Talk to your tax person about what's the best thing for you. But gosh, that day of retirement is coming at you like a freight train. And if you don't think so, just look at your kids, look at your nieces and nephews. You know, look around you and you see time flies. You say, wow, is it already July? Next thing you're going to be saying is, wow, am I already retired? And you have to be your own best friend and save for that day. And that is what we do here. We help you do that. We help you save.
Do something today that tomorrow you will be grateful for, right?
Yes, right. Who else is going to do it for you?
Nobody. All right, guys, hold on real quick. We're going to be right back. And when we come back, I want to talk about what Karen sees coming for the rest of this year. What does she see on the forefront of real estate investing? So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages.
8 to 15% return on investment in this market? Come on, who's getting that? I'll tell you who. People investing in asset-based mortgage notes. Want proof? Go to loanmls.com and check out their inventory. LoanMLS is an online note exchange designed specifically for the private lending industry. It's for investors, brokers, lenders, and bankers to confidentially share information about loan assets they want to buy, sell, or fund. LoanMLS gives you the power to connect over 19,000 loan professionals and investors, and they all want to buy, sell, or invest in existing loans, loan pools, or new loan originations. Membership is nominal. You can send unlimited inquiries to sellers. And if you're selling notes, you can post up to 10 listings a month. There are no contracts, and you can cancel at any time. And right now, there's a free trial to see if it's a good fit for you. LoanMLS.com makes buying, selling, or investing in loans easier. Visit LoanMLS.com today.
Are you searching everywhere trying to find a solution for investing? Overwhelmed at the options and possible directions? Maybe you're wondering which strategy or investment option is right for you. I'm Pete Asmus, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investor Hour. I'm also the editor of Investor Quarterly. Check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. We are the magazine that is here and driven to give you the answers that you're looking for. Go to investorquarterly.com right now. Get your current issue. Make sure you subscribe so you get all upcoming events, issues, and expos that we're going to be putting together. That's investorquarterly.com. InvestorQuarterly.com.
Private lending, it's about more than money. It's about self-reliance and the rugged individualism that built America. The American Association of Private Lenders is the voice of private lenders. Our purpose is to advance the interests of private lending and the entire peer-to-peer community. We lend our experience, enterprise, and energy to elevate the standards of our industry and give you a voice in your future. Part of that future? Build your future with us. Join the American Association of Private Lenders today. Go to AAPLonline.com. Thank you.
And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus.
All right. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for being here today. We really do appreciate it. Today, we have our special co-host, Karen Hall from UDirect IRA Services. You can go to UDirectIRA.com to find out more. She just talked about how you can actually look up people that you're interested in investing with and getting together with and check them out for fraud, check them out for, you know, anything that they might be doing. So you really ensure that anything that you're going to invest with, especially when you're talking about your retirement, that you're being as risk advertent as possible, right? So that you're being as smart about your investments as you can be. And I love that about Karen. I've actually been out, we've been out to her. She has meetings. In fact, we can talk a little bit about that too, Karen. She is the owner of the OC RIA, and they have meetings every month. Usually, I think it's the beginning of the month, correct? It's like the first
second
Thursday.
Yeah, second Thursday of every month. This month it's the third Thursday because we had a little hiccup. But yeah, the second Thursday of every month is when we meet.
So when is it? Is it this week or next week?
Well, this month it's special. We're meeting this Thursday on the 16th. Otherwise, it's the second Thursday of every month.
Okay, I'm just not looking at a calendar, so I just wanted to make sure. So we're talking about tomorrow. So tomorrow, your meeting is tomorrow.
Oh gosh, yeah. Is it Wednesday? Yeah, you know.
Yes,
that,
that's
why, you know,
I'm
saying, right?
Saying this Thursday, like it's like 3 or 4 days away, and I'm like, no, that's tomorrow. So tonight, because we have our meeting tonight. Our meeting is tonight in Don Jose. Is at 6:30 in Buena Park. You can go to thegentrygroup.com/calendar, and you can check that out. For you, Karen, how do they find out where the OC RIA is tomorrow? Where would they go, and what time is that?
Sure, sure. Well, it's OC and then REIA, R-E-I-A, for Real Estate Investors Association. So OCREIA.com is our website. The meeting is in Costa Mesa near South Coast Plaza. It's at the Avenue of the Arts Wyndham. Get started at about 6:30, and we're going to have a deal profile. We're going to have a market update, and then we're going to have Matt McFarlane and Amanda Hahn talking about basically how to save on taxes when you're a real estate investor. Special tips and techniques for real estate investors tonight.
We were just talking about
that tomorrow night. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're just talking about that.
There you go. Right? I mean, when do we not talk about tax? Gosh, I mean, what are we not taxed on? It's bananas.
Well, that
goes hand in hand
with you, right? I mean, with IRAs and stuff, that really goes hand in hand. I just think that's awesome that we were literally just talking about that, and we're talking about if you want to do different things. So here's an event that if you guys are thinking, well, I've got a little bit of money, what are some opportunities? This is the event you want to go to, right? Tomorrow night, you can have a real estate tax attorney and is that what you said, tax attorney?
No, they're both CPAs from Keystone CPA.
Okay, so two CPAs, real estate CPAs, and you can have Karin there, and you could really devise a plan. I mean, everybody you would need would be there to figure out what you can do moving forward, right?
Yeah, kind of a one-stop shop. Yeah, you're right.
Why not? I mean, that's what this is all about. The thing I also love about Karin's events, there's usually about 50 people there. The networking there would be great for you. And again, if you're new into investing, even if you're not, I mean, her events are great. In fact, you have the wine and cheese events that you do as well. And I was at the last one last month, and I can't wait till you do another one, because I met two or three people there that I can see really building out something with.
Yeah, that's the thing about investing. You've got to meet people, constantly be working on your network. And the next wine and cheese we're looking at is probably going to be in Beverly Hills. So it might be a little swanky and fun. You know, we're putting it all together. It's not released officially, but that's what we're looking at right now.
Is Andrew going to be there too?
Probably.
I liked Andrew. He's cool.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome.
He is awesome. All right. So let's talk about what you see coming out of the next few months. I guess we only have a few months left in 2015. But what do you see for the remainder of this year? What do you see happening in California? What do you see happening across the United States?
Well, you know, I got to say that, you know, I'm not a real estate advisor in any way, nor an economist, but I can tell you what, you know, just took the temperature of the office today, and I was talking to the transaction coordinators, and I said, you know, what do you see people investing in today? I mean, how long has it been since you've seen somebody actually invest in a house? And two of the guys said, oh yeah, well I've got somebody investing in a house right now. So, and then another one says, yeah, a lot of people are selling their property, and then, but a lot of the deals that we're seeing right now are people investing in private placements. We see people investing in notes, you know, either making them or buying performing and non-performing paper. So those are the kinds of things we see going on. What the future may hold is I do not know, and that's why I like to self-direct my IRA, because that way I've got control over my assets. I don't know what's going to happen in Greece. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in China that's going to impact my IRA, and I don't like that, so I self-direct my IRA.
Now, you said something pretty interesting, too, that the trend that you're seeing with the clients that you have, right, and that's not a prediction or anything, you're just saying what I'm seeing as a trend is in notes and in financing. And I'm wondering, what does that say? Because to me, that's got to say something, right? I mean, that's got to say that there's a belief back out there that the housing market is on the rise again in California. Because if we're going into funding and financing, that seems to be it's not as much flipping. Does that make sense? Like, that's not what the exciting part is now. It seems to be now the financing part of it and the notes. I mean, that would fall right into that.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of it, is all I can say. But, you know, if you want a real prognostication about what's going to happen, you know, just a little plug for OC REIA, but we've got a great person. Her name is Kathleen Kramer, and she really is an economist, and she gives us a great economic rundown. And just love listening to her, because I can't wait to hear what's going on now. Why did gas go up $1 a gallon? You know, she's got all the answers, right? Right. So why? What's going on? And that's why we do a monthly economic update, just kind of take the temperature of the world.
Cool. And she'll be there tomorrow then, too. So if we come, we can talk to her as well and find out more information about that.
That's right.
I love it, man. That is so awesome. Karin, did you have fun today?
Oh, my gosh. I always have fun when I talk to you. Yes.
Okay. Good. So tell me, what are some of the things that you have coming up for the rest of this year? What does your calendar look like? What are some of the events you're going to? How can we find more of Karin? What are you going to be doing?
Well, quite a lot. This weekend, I'm going to San Francisco up to the Bay Area Wealth Builders event. We've got John Schaub and Pete Fortunato talking about, hey, guess what, self-directed IRA investing. And two days of it. And when I very first got in the industry, I learned so much from Dykes. It's actually Dykes Butterford, that's who it is. And Dykes is going to be there. And I learned so much from him. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend. The following weekend, I'm going back to the Bay Area for Kathy Fetke's Real Wealth Network Group. She's having an educational weekend, and I'm going to be one of the speakers. So that'll be another great opportunity for people to learn. And then I just got booked on as a speaker for Noteworthy coming up in August, the third week in August in, I believe, Las Vegas. So Noteworthy coming up. So those are three of the things I've got coming up in the next 30 days.
That is awesome. There's a lot of stuff happening. What are some of the speakers that you're going to be having? What can we expect from OC RIA over the rest of this year? Who do you have coming out? What do you have going on?
Yeah, a lot of really, really interesting stuff going on. Next month, we're going to have we're going to have Kathy Pidwell come out and talk about how it's not just, you know, investing, it's the mindset. It all starts in your head, and work on that first, and then the outer will manifest. And so that's kind of something we don't usually talk about, but it's just so important that I thought we really needed to bring Kathy in and talk about that side of investing. Coming up in September, I'm super excited about having this note panel. We've got a lot of amazing note investors coming in, a whole panel of them, and Bill Tan said he would moderate. Hopefully he's feeling better. I guess he's a little under the weather, but we're going to have a note panel of note people that you're going to know, and being moderated, and and just learning all different aspects, second liens, first liens, performing, non-performing notes, making paper, making notes, buying paper,
sure.
Everything, every aspect. So we'll cover it all. So very exciting. I'm really especially pumped up about our next coming months.
That is awesome, man. That is really cool. Well, awesome. Karin, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate it. Can you give us a little bit of contact information? So anybody listening that's like, man, I want to invest. I want to get into action. I want Karin to help me dial in my IRA. I know she doesn't give me advice on investing, but I want at least to be prepared the right way. Where can they get a hold of you? What are some phone numbers, some emails? Give me some, all of that.
Sure. The very best thing is to, email me, shoot me an email. You can just do info@udirectira.com, and that's the best way to get to me, and it's easy to remember. So info@udirectira.com. You can call us toll-free anytime at 866-447-6598. Of course, we're only here during business hours after I said that. We're here normal business hours,
right.
But that's our toll-free number, 866-447-6598. Go to our website, though, udirectira.com. So many helpful links, so much great information if you just want to browse it. Whatever you need to know, we're here. And if you want that list of non-recourse lenders, you want me to send it to you, shoot me that email at info@udirectira.com, and I'll respond with a list of non-recourse lenders.
I love it. I'm going to get that list from you as well. Well, thank you so much, Karin. We're going to go ahead and put her information up on our website as well, too. So if you're listening to this, you can just look down a little bit, and you'll see all of Karin's contact information so that you can get on board as well. I've sent a few people to Karin before, and I've heard nothing but great things about her. So as a personal referral, I think she's amazing, and I definitely think you should take action and get something going so that you can do something with that money. It's not just sitting there not doing anything. Anyways, Karin, thank you so much. Have a great day, okay?
Oh, thank you, Pete. I so appreciate it. You're always such a pro, and I really love being on your show. Thank you.
You got it. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, guys. Well, hey, there we go. A few minutes left. I wanted to talk a little bit about, as we're coming up on the end of summer, we're coming up in the middle of the year, what have you really done to accomplish your goals? And what do you feel the things are that are holding you back? When I look at, again, going back to the to-do list in the beginning, I think a lot of times, even as we become professional, even as we start to elevate our level of play and our level of engagement in investing or being an entrepreneur, a lot of times we let the mindset part slip. And it's kind of interesting that Karin was even talking about that, because I agree 100%. The mindset part of being an entrepreneur is one of the most challenging things to overcome, because you've got to be able to believe in yourself when no one else will. You've got to be able to see the opportunities when everybody around you thinks that you're wasting your time, and you've got to be able to stick with it. And at the same time, you have to know when to say when. You have to understand when to let something go and realize that you have to move past that and move on to the next thing. The thing I love about real estate investing is the people that you can really engage with. When I talk about our turnkey system, when I talk about Phoenix, when I talk about everything that we're doing out there, you know, I'm doing a webinar tomorrow on it, and I'm excited to do the webinar because I've talked to another 10 people this week. I've brought on 3 more investors, and the more people I talk to, the more excited I get because I see what the challenges they have, and I'm able to help some people, and then some people I'm not. You know, I had somebody talk to me that wanted to get like 45 or 50% back on their money every 3 months. And it's like, look, this system isn't for you. I'm not swinging for the fences on everything. For me, it's about consistency. It's about really making sure that all of the results come back and they're consistent results. And that way we're able to really build and grow a great brand. And so when I talk about all of that, it all goes down to relationships. Really, when you break everything down, it breaks down to who are you around? Who are you surrounding yourself with? The reason I brought on Karin is because I want you guys to have access to a complete professional, somebody that really does this for a living, that really cares about you and cares about what you're doing to ensure that you don't get in trouble, to ensure, you know, to the best of her ability. Obviously, she can't make decisions for you. If you go into a self-directed IRA, you get to self-direct what you're doing. And so it's your choice. But her goal is to make sure that all of the paperwork is done right. Her goal is to make sure all of the things are done correctly so that it's not anybody coming back on you, that the only mistakes you could make is just from your failure to get into a good deal. And that's why she's so extreme about the fraud and on all of those things and making sure that you know who you're getting invested with. And when it comes to what we're doing, that's exactly why, for instance, next weekend, we have a workshop in Phoenix. And the whole point of the workshop is because the biggest, I guess if you want to say failure that I've ever had came from Indianapolis. And it's because we didn't go out there and we didn't meet people. We didn't look. We just went in and we invested. And that was a mistake that we made and we paid the price for it. And so now I don't do that anymore. And I don't expect any high-level investor typically to do that either. If they don't know me, if they don't know the area, if they don't know the system, then I'm assuming that anybody that's going to invest $100,000 is going to want to take a short trip out and see the area, see the progress, see the work, see the people, meet everybody so that they know what they're putting out there is safe and secure to the best of its ability, right? Obviously, there's no guarantees in real estate. There's no guarantees in investing. But we want to make sure that what we're doing, that the deck is stacked in our favor as much as possible. And so that's the whole purpose of the workshop. For us, it'd be easier not to have a workshop because then we just do deals and just have them running through. But I know to really grow and to get to the point that we want to get, it's all about bringing people out, meeting them. It's about creating those relationships, creating those bonds, creating that trust. And that has to do with face-to-face typically. It has to do with when you're there. So if you haven't checked out the webinar, please come and check it out. All you got to do is go to rfreewebinar.com. That's rfreewebinar.com. And you can register for tomorrow's webinar. It's going to be Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. And then we will obviously have a rewind or a replay that we'll be playing on Begin the Webinar when it's done. Again, I'm grateful for everybody being on. I'm excited for today. I've got another three really big meetings today, which are really exciting for me. We're going to be working on some different things from possibly this really cool thing out here in Temecula that I can't really talk about yet, but I'm excited about the opportunities with that. And then also a couple other investors that are going to be coming out to Phoenix with us next week. And so we're onboarding them today. And I'm excited about the progress that we've made this year. I think we've raised over a few million dollars at this point. Based on outside of Arizona, all of the running around and bringing investors into this program. So I'm excited. If you've been watching and been thinking, you know, I wonder if this is for me, look, get on the phone with me. Let's have a conversation and let's see if you're right for our program, because the reality is I want to help as many people as I can. My goal is to really help the underdog get into real estate investing, start to get an ROI so that they can start putting money back into their pocket and they can get out of that everyday life. They can get out of that J-O-B. So, guys, thank you so much. As always, this is Pete Asmus, and go make something happen. Come on, here we go. Bam!
You've been listening to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Tune in every week, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Also, check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And as always, go make something happen.